living and loving God, you created the world. You created our homes. You created our lives. Set your creative power at work in us now, that as we hear your word, you might make us a new creation. Take these words of mine, and by your Spirit, make them into something that is nourishing for your people. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. I wonder what comes to mind when you think about home. Perhaps you think about the place you were born, the town or the city or the island, and the land and the skies around it. Maybe when you think of home, you think of a particular meal and the smells of it cooking. Or maybe you think of people, of some people who loved you or still love you and nurtured and helped you grow. Or perhaps you think of the place where you raised your children, where you established yourself, where you felt that you were stepping into the best version of you. All of us have stories of home. We all have experiences of home and feelings about home. Sometimes these are treasured memories. Sometimes they're painful memories. At its simplest, a home is a place where we live, where we should be able to find belonging, where we should be able to grow and flourish. And homes come in many shapes and forms and sizes. Homes can be permanent, like a stone house built on a hill, or temporary, like a tent put up in the wilderness or a nomad's caravan. Though the experiences of home are different, we've all had some experience of being at home, and we've probably all had some experiences of feeling not quite at home. We are made, and we are placed in a world that was made to be our home. Our God is a homemaker. Consider the reading we've just heard. In the beginning, there was nothing. The conditions for life were not there. There was nothing to nurture us. There was nothing that made life possible, just chaos and darkness. There was no home, but God acted. The first pages of the Bible show us that God makes us a home. And God ensures that this home has what we need to thrive. The conditions for life are established. A formless void becomes a place for living. The darkness is transformed into light so there can be growth and nourishment. Order is brought to the chaos. Land is formed. Life is called forth. Human beings and life is given shape. God's homemaking brings order to chaos. God's homemaking sets things in proper and right relationship to one another. God's homemaking establishes a rhythm of time, a pattern for life, building in work and rest. God's homemaking blesses us and sets us up so that we and all creation with us can flourish. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, verse 10, verse 12, verse 17, verse 21, and verse 25 all say that God looked at what had been made and said that it was good. And if that wasn't enough, verse 31 says that God looked what had been made and said it was very good. It was good. It was very good. A good home had been made. A home, properly made, where love flourishes, where nurturing happens, where peace reigns, where forgiveness is the norm, where grudges aren't held, where each person is built up in love. A home that is good, that is very good, is what God wants for us. It's what God wants for the whole world. It's what God made us for. But we're people who live in this world. For all the good memories we have of home, each of us will also have dark and hard memories of home. There's no doubt that as well as being places of love and nourishment, homes can also be places of hurt and pain and even abuse. We know this at an individual and family level. We know it as a communal level and at a global level. Homes can go wrong. Things can unravel. Things happen that we don't want to happen. We know that if we turn the pages in our Bible, the very next page, we see a story of this new home that God made for us beginning to unravel. We see right in the early days of creation and right until today that sometimes our actions can help unravel our home. Our actions can lead, and our words can lead, to disorder, to chaos, to pain, and unraveling that beautiful home that God makes. We know that the world goes wrong. We've lived it, we've experienced it, we feel it, and we know that homes go wrong. If you've had bad neighbours who make being at home unpleasant, it can be tempting to put the house on the market and move away. Or if parts of life at home are unpleasant, we can often want to move away and establish a new life elsewhere. Or if we get upset and offended at the actions of others, we can quickly move to exclude them or put them in a box or try and control them. And none of these things ends up making the home better. Human beings are made in God's image, our reading tells us. And human beings are at our best when we're reflecting God's image. Although a crack distorts what we see in the mirror, so too the brokenness in the world reflects the way in which God's image in our lives is reflected, both individually and collectively. But a reading like this one, and the actions of Jesus that we read about in the Gospels and experience in our lives show us what God's image is really like and shows us, therefore, how to act in God's image. Sometimes in this world, we will act in destructive ways. Sometimes the homes we live in, the world we live in, will become unpleasant through the actions of ourselves and others. And at these points, we need to look at what God does when this happens. God doesn't put the house on the market when the neighbours are obnoxious. And God doesn't evict the tenants when they're ratbags. God doesn't get a motorhome and go AWOL when the kids start squabbling. God doesn't damage the home with further acts of violence or control. And neither should we. We should strive to act as God would act. In John chapter 1, we're told that the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, became flesh and moved to make a home with us. The message says that the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Rather than use violence, rather than distancing himself from us, Jesus draws near to us. Jesus draws near and God makes a home in the midst of the messy, unraveling situations that we live to try and weave things back together and to make a new home for us. This is the God we're made in the image of. We're made in the image of the God who hovers over the water as spirit. We're made in the image of God who makes a home for each of us, and made in the image of the God who moves into that home and dwells with us. We're made in the image of God called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This God is always making space, always making a home, always stepping back so that there's room for somebody else to thrive. The Father makes space for the Son to be the Son. The Spirit opens space for the Father and the Son's relationship. The God we're made in the image of is the God who makes space and whose very life is love. Just as God makes space for us to flourish, we are called to use our lives and to make decisions and to act so that others can flourish and become the best versions of themselves. This is what it means to have stewardship over creation and to exercise that stewardship in the image of God. Whether we do this in the literal houses we live in with our families or partners or friends, or in the greater community that we're a part of, we're always faced with a choice about how to relate to one another. Are our actions, are our words helping this person flourish? Are we creating space for them and helping them take the next step of following Christ? Or are our words and actions dividing and blaming and hurting and making it hard for another person to be at home? Are we creating home, or are we unraveling home with our actions? Now, the truth is, we're not always going to get this right. The truth is, we're going to make mistakes, and we will hurt others, and we will exclude others, and we will act in ways that offend others. We will misunderstand others, and we will be misunderstood. Welcome to life. And welcome to church. Welcome home. Welcome to the world we live in. This is the world we live in. Arguments, disagreements, personality clashes, different worldviews, different priorities. That's going to happen whenever people get together. That's the reality when two people live together, let alone 2 million or 2 billion people. As followers of Jesus, these things are a part of life. We shouldn't be shocked when people treat us badly, or even if we as Christians treat one another badly. That's life. That's what happens when people get together. And that's the broken world that we live in. The call isn't to be perfect, but rather to turn back to God and to turn back to God's way whenever we realise that our actions are contributing to this, whenever we realise that our actions are smudging the mirror and not reflecting God's image. Jesus has come into the midst of this world, and the Spirit has been poured out to continue that work of building a home and creating space for all people to flourish. This home that God is building, Revelation 21 tells us, will somehow be better, will be better than the very good that we're told about in Genesis 1. All things will be made right. All tears will be wiped away. It will be good. It will be very good. It will be perfect in time. Until we get there, though, when we find ourselves taking steps that hurt or cause pain or exclude or make someone feel not at home or unravel a home, this is when we need to turn. This is when we need to turn to God and remember that even when we do this, God is still there, waiting with open arms, ready to welcome us home, and to feed us, and to nurture us, and to refresh us, and renew us, and transform us, so that we can then turn back to the other, turn back to the person, turn back to the world, and be ready to open our arms and help one another thrive, help one another follow Christ, and help one another find a home in our God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.